This is News West. News West is put together by the WA Amateur Radio News. News West is a community organisation with community news. If you want to submit something, please do so, newswest@vk6.net.
Hi, I'm Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with the third episode of Did You Know? Did you know that the WIA runs its DX award scheme and leaderboard online from its website at wia.org.au? Easiest way to find more details is to Google WIA DX Awards. The mainstay of the DX Award scheme is the time-honoured WIA version of the DXCC Award. DXCC is an acronym for Long Distance Sentry Club. In its most basic form, the DXCC Award is an award for contacting and gaining a QSL card, either physically or electronically, from at least 100 different DXCC entities. A DXCC entity is a country, or if the country has parts that are separated by more than 500 kilometres, a country may have more than one DXCC entity. An example of this is Christmas Island and Cocos Keeling Islands. These are both a part of Australia, but are separate DXCC entities for the purpose of the award. Other examples include East and West Malaysia, and Greece and the island of Crete. Before digital communications, DXCC was much harder to get and was probably valued higher than now. However, the challenge now is to go beyond the first 100 countries and gain DXCC awards on multiple bands or with multiple modes. From a band perspective, there's an award for each single band you attain DXCC with, as well as 3, 5, 7 and 9 band awards. For modes, there are phone, that is that quaint old mode that the old timers used to use with a microphone, CW, that's Morse code, and data modes. Data modes can be FT8, PSK31, RTTY, or any of the myriad of digital modes around. A couple of years ago, the WIA also introduced the triple play category, where a country is only counted when you've confirmed it on SSB, CW, and a data mode. Whilst the first 100 countries is much easier to attain now, there's no doubt that the highest levels, including the Honour Roll, which is an award for working all but two or three of every entity, are still great and often lifelong endeavours. I managed to work my first 100 countries, but not quite get them all confirmed in my first 12 months as a ham, but it did cost me a year of school that I had to repeat because the DXCC was more attractive than Year 11. In addition to the DXCC awards, there are also awards for working grid squares, working the Antarctic, all VK call areas on HF and VHF, and working all continents. To claim an award, you used to need to carefully keep all your QSL cards, mark off in your paper log each contact confirmed, then provide a separate log of each entry used for your award, have someone sign off on the fact that you actually have the cards, and send it by snail mail to the WIA. It would then go to the awards committee, who occasionally would gather to evaluate applications, ask for actual proof if they saw fit, and then you would receive your award in the mail. My first DXCC award, gained after about 30 years in the hobby, took around 12 months from sending off my application to receiving the award. I had to send about 4 cards to the committee with a stamped addressed return envelope to check. Thankfully now, we upload our logbooks to the WIA awards site, then follow a simple process of checking logs against Log of the World and EQSL, and for hard copy cards, show a fellow WIA member registered for the award scheme my cards, and they hop online and tick them off. The process for applying for an award once you've attained the level you needed takes 1 to 3 days and is largely automated with some manual oversight from the committee. As an adjunct to the award scheme, the WIA also maintains annual challenges called the DX and the group leaderboards. These programs use exactly the same process for submission of logs and verification of contacts. In fact, if you don't tick the box to opt out of the leaderboard, you automatically go on the leaderboard when you submit logs for DX awards. The DX leaderboard is an annual challenge that pits individual operators against each other to work the most number of entities on the most number of bands and modes, including triple play, in a given year. There's also a category for the most grid squares worked. The categories are further broken down into an open category, a category for standard and foundation licenses, and a third category for foundation license operators only. The top 30 operators are displayed on a table on the WIA website, and the results are automatically calculated as soon as anyone uploads a log. I have to say, this challenge is a bit addictive. To run at the top of the ladder, you need a good station, a lot of time, a lot of tenacity, and operator skill on all three mode groups. Having said that, the top standard and foundation entrants last year were both VK6s, as was the outright winner, and the most grid squares worked category is something almost anyone can compete in, even with a very modest station. The group leaderboard is a category where anyone can form a category and anyone can join that category. The most popular of these by far is the club leaderboard. As part of your registration on the scheme, you can nominate the club you're a member of, only one per participant, and all individual scores are also added together to form a club challenge. Last year, and I think the year before also, our very own Bunbury Radio Club won this award with a significant margin on the runner-up. So, how do we sign up for this bucket of fun? Firstly, you must be a member of the WIA. Not such a bad thing. You get access to the QSL Bureau, you get a Cool magazine every 2 months, and you contribute to the National Voice for the hobby. And if that wasn't enough, you can watch jelly wrestling between WIA and RASA, but we don't talk about that here. If joining the WIA is not for you, the AERRL also has a DXCC award scheme, which is just as sought after, if not more so. It was the first award scheme. And Clublog also runs a leaderboard program that's also very popular and very similar in style, but not sponsored by your favourite ham business in Perth. So go on, join a WIA, upload your logs occasionally, get your club enthusiastic about it, get the coolest wallpaper available for your shack and make some noise.
This is VK6 ARN and you're listening to News West.
The John Moyle Memorial Field Day Contest is only a month away. It's on the weekend of the 18th and 19th of March. The contest is run every year in memory of the late John Moyle, who was a long-term editor of The Wireless Weekly, which later became Radio and Hobbies, and then later Radio, Television and Hobbies from 1947 until his untimely death in 1960. He served the RAAF with distinction and was responsible for a number of innovative solutions to keeping radio and radar equipment working under difficult wartime and working conditions. The Wireless Institute decided that a suitable long-term memorial to John Moyle would be a field day with a focus on portable or field operation. The contest has been conducted annually ever since. The rules of the contest have gradually changed over time and are still revised regularly. The contest is still for portable or field operations, although home stations can of course take part, using a different scoring system. Though multiple operators and club stations are actively encouraged to take part in the contest, they are not competing against the single operator stations, and in effect there are two separate contests run at the same time. Hence, single operator stations take part in their own contest against other single operators. The aim of the John Moyle contest is to encourage and provide familiarisation with portable and field operation and provide training for emergency situations. The rules are therefore specifically designed and focused to encourage field operations. It's time now for you to start thinking about how you're going to set up and work your portable station. You don't have to go camping to run a portable station. You can sling a wire up in a local park and run on a battery, solar, power supply, or one of those small, almost silent generators. If you wish, you can pack up at the end of the day and go home to your own bed. It's up to you. Then you can go back the next day. Or you could take your caravan or camper to one of the pubs in the country that allow free camping. You might feel obliged to force yourself to have a pub meal and a beverage, but we all must make sacrifices. The John Moyle Memorial Field Day rules and description are up on the WIA's website, wia.org.au. And next week I'll talk about preparing for the contest. I'm Bob VK6POP.
Peel Amateur Radio Group held the Park Fest last Saturday, the 11th of February 2023, at the Manjira Bowling Club. It was a huge success in every way, with in excess of 100 attendees who enjoyed finding rare and valuable bargains in the swap meet. There were live presentations throughout the morning, a static display of the Parg communications trailer, and refresh hot coffee and snacks. The 40th anniversary raffle was a monster success. The results are available at www.parg.au. Winners have already been contacted. A big thank you to our sponsors, Parg members and volunteers who made it happen, and most of all, the more than 100 people who attended and made it such a massive success. Parg meets every third Tuesday at 1900 hours at the SES headquarters, 31 Education Drive, next to Bunnings in Mandurah. You can also join the meetings on Zoom. Login details at www.parg.au. Everyone is welcome. We would love to see you.
This is Greg, VK6LH, and I'd like to thank you for listening to this week's News West. We'll be back next week. If you'd like to contribute anything, please send it through to newswest@vk6.net.